Hello and welcome to Conversations from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. In this episode, Scott spoke to adoptive parent Chris, and he shares the experience of being approved to adopt with his wife in the run-up to the first lockdown. COVID arrived as their son moved into their house, and Chris discusses the pressures of their early days together in lockdown, as well as other challenges, and the strength they're finding as a new family now. It's been a uniquely difficult time for many adopters, and Chris speaks to many people's experiences of this time. As always, if you have experience of adoption, fostering, or special guardianship from any perspective and would like to share that on the podcast, please get in touch through the Facebook page, Twitter page, or you can email us at aandfpodcast@gmail.com.
So in this conversation, I'm joined by Chris. Hi, Chris. Thanks for coming along and chatting to us.
Hello.
I say us. There's only me here. I don't know why I said that. You're very welcome and thank you for coming along. So introduce yourself and tell us, I guess, your story, really.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Chris and I'm here to tell a story about our child or our situation. We adopted and our child was placed with us just a few weeks before the first lockdown in 2020. We really came to this process really through adoption, through my wife and I. We tried for natural child to for a baby, but my wife has some health conditions that meant it wasn't straightforward for us, and because of her medical intervention already, we decided not to go down IVF, so we started our process, went to the first information night, first January 2019. Started the process through there. I think we came out of that and thought, yeah, let's do it. I was probably a little bit more nervous or daunted by it than my wife. My wife was up for it straight away. I remember social workers first coming to our house a few months later, we were into it. I remember it felt like a very long wait until anything happened after that moment. I'm sure lots of people feel like that as well, but in hindsight, I understand what the wait is all about, really. At the time we had a friend of a friend who was just starting the same journey as us, and they managed to get on a training course before us, and we were thinking, well, but it turned out that my wife was they were considering whether we needed an early medical for my wife, but she hasn't got anything debilitating. She's got had endometriosis. The training. 3-day training, was really good. I remember the lady who did our training was really good. The delivery of it was amazing. A lot of what we learned was, it felt like it was obvious at the time. It felt like it was obvious when we thought about it afterwards. Mm. And that's how clear she made it to us. You know, some of the ideas. But then there were also sort of mind-opening moments when you realise that, you know, there's a lot more to this process and journey than we realised when we first came into it. I think after that, we felt very much empowered and ready and excited. A little bit nervous because obviously we'd got taught a lot of situations that we might be faced with, I think we came out of that, the 3-day training, ready for the next stage. After that, we felt again like another long wait. But I remember we went on holiday and we came back thinking what's going on. But we were soon allocated social worker, and it wasn't really that long in reality. The visits and the journey through that process, fortnightly visits or weekly visits, it went quite smoothly for us. The tasks we were given and everything, looking inwardly. I very much through that process grew, I think. I was quite a closed person, I think, prior to it. My wife isn't at all. she's heart on her wrist, really, but I'm a little bit more closed. But I think after that, I had a lot more to, opened up a lot more, I think, through that. And it was a really therapeutic process for me, I think. We thought about how we would parent. Before starting the journey, well, a parent just like I was parented, and that's just, how it was, Mm. But I think, there was a lot of learning. We read lots, listened lots. I remember the BBC podcast. I remember listening to that driving to work. And I remember one of the episodes when it's birth parents, or maybe it's grandparents, something like that. And it just kind of makes you realize that, that there's a lot of things to think about, I think. Mm. Obviously I found you guys as well, Adoption and Fostering Podcast, and there's a lot of things that we've learned, and although a lot of, at the time it was a lot of buzzwords, I think, to me, but I think it was really good for us to have read and listened lots through that process, really, at that time as well. That journey for us wasn't very long. By the October, we had our approval panel. And thinking about it, there was a little bit of a blur, I think, but we were approved. There was no real issues, questions. It was seemed quite straightforward for us. We were shown then a profile immediately after that, on the same day. It was you've been approved, yay. And then, wait there though, I'll give you a profile. and walked away and took this profile with us. We looked at this profile, and there was everything in there that we wanted to know at the time. So let's find out more. Mm-hmm. We were then given the car B, and there was uncertainty in there, but there was, my wife and I, we both knew that there was no reason for us to look anymore. That's the little boy that we adopted. And I think that really is down to the fact that we didn't need to look anymore. Was, I think, our social worker did such a good job in, or maybe we did a good job as well in knowing who we were and what a match would be. Mm. I think I know that some people might think that, well, you've just given given what you were given. But, you know, there was, I think we just have so much love to give that, yeah, we were matched with the child that we wanted and the child who needed us. So, following that, then we had our, the visits from a child social worker, and it was a really strange situation. We, we laid out all the tea and biscuits and everything, and plumped all the pillows and hoovered the living room 5 times and did all that, and, put on our best selves. But it really came the other way to us. It was the other way around. We were sold a child. That's how it felt. We were expecting to have to answer a lot of questions, and but it was clear that there was more children than adopters at the time, because it sounds awful, but that's how it felt looking back at it. Then the holiday season started, so Christmas, and it just felt like a lot of dithering. At the time, so nothing really happened, and we are itching. We're itching at the time, and you're thinking, well, this should be our first Christmas as a family, and there's a little boy that needs to be with his mum and dad, or his new mum and dad, and but nothing happened then again, and I think some of the wheels of the machine weren't turning at the time. But after Christmas, we then got everything going. We met a foster carer, and everything was great. And then we were offered the opportunity to meet, or we were asked to meet, the birth parent. We met birth mum, and yeah, that was a very strange situation again. It was very, very much worthwhile, though. My wife and I, we both said that, you build this picture up, you've just got this car B, which is black on white of a situation, and you build a picture up in your head, and then you actually meet the birth mum and they're a human being. So it made things a lot clearer to us as well. And, we sent questions before. They were answered on the day. It was quite a, quite a strange situation for us at the time. And but it ended with an embrace from us and them, so it was really worthwhile. Following that, we did matching panel, and there was probably about 50 people in the room. And they said at the time that it was one of the largest groups of people they've had in there, and I don't think they could fit anybody in. It was all good, and we were approved for the match, and then it all went, all went on to introductions, which started in late February 2020. The matching panel, or the plan that we made on that day, was really worthwhile doing, and we were really, really, it went really smoothly, and it was really, I think, it was a really good time. Difficult, and obviously you've got all the issues that go with that. But it was good, and he was placed with us. March 2020. Obviously, during training, we were built up to make sure that we spent time bonding, just us three as a family, working on the attachment, and and making sure that was very strong. But at the time, you know, you're turning on the telly and you're seeing what's happening. And it was, yeah, I think we all knew, you know, within a couple of weeks, the writing was on the wall of what was going to happen. Seeing what was happening in Italy at the time, I think it was, wasn't it? So, you know, we were told to isolate for 2 weeks with, you know, building that attachment. I think we broke that rule to meet some family and, you know, it was probably a little bit selfish at the time, but looking back, it was, you know, it was just a day or not even a day, an hour or two here and there. And then we were all put in under lockdown, under real isolation. And all of a sudden, we were completely abandoned. So through training, you know, you built it. You're being told about your support bubble. Your support bubble. I think that's a COVID word, isn't it? Support network is what it was prior. you build up your support network, and then you're alone. Mm. We were alone, completely and utterly alone. We were sort of. It sounds really awful, but we were stuck with. Stuck inside the four walls of the house and the garden with this little boy that was probably, he was so obviously so scared and nervous of what was going on. And we were, you know, desperate to love him and trying our very best to love him. Not that to love him was difficult, but it was just, you know, trying to form that bond. I remember, you know, when I think we were told, contact by social workers, we were contacted by our social worker over the phone, and we were told that we were really lucky and that it was going to be great for our attachment. It probably was great for our attachment, but I really think that we were, I think that we've got some trauma ourselves as a family from what we had to, you know, what we were doing at the time. We were built up for, through training again, we were built up for dealing with a child that had suffered trauma, and we were ready for pace and everything on that side. But on the other side, we were totally unprepared for parenthood, I think. My wife is experienced with young children, but you know, we weren't parents prior to that, and we basically muddled through for 4 months on our own, just trying to make it work. I think my wife's struggled more than me. I had work to switch off from what was happening downstairs. I just heard her doing her very best. And, you know, she did a really, really great job. But what should have been a magical period of bonding and, you know, her adoption leave should have been toddler groups and family and coffee and what have you. But it was if it wasn't for this, for the weather we had, you know, she would have been stuck inside this house. And luckily there was a garden to go to, but it sounds really, really awful. And, but yeah, it sounds quite selfish, but it was just a bit, it was not how it was meant to be. It was, I don't want to say disappointing, but it, because it was, you know, we had our little boy and he, and, but we didn't have the, days, the time to go and explore life. We're getting that now. But do you know what I mean? In the, you know, in the nights, he's quite a little boy, so we're having to rock him to sleep at night, and we know that that was part of our bonding as well, and everything, and we made sure that we did that properly, but didn't then have the time to release because we were stuck inside. We were told that we would have a, that he was quite clingy prior to being placed with us, that he was quite clingy. But I think, well, we saw it, once lockdown sort of opened up again, he was a very, very anxious little boy, and he's starting to get better at that. It was a struggle. And in hindsight, we should have spoken up perhaps, but at the same time, you know, we should have said we weren't coping. But at the same time, I don't think anybody knew what to do, what they were doing. I think everybody was just so scared of COVID, or we were told to isolate, and the system just switched off. And, you know, some of my story might come across as first world problems, but, you know, it is all relative at the end of the day. So I hope that's taken the right way. But, you know, we were so wanting it to work and to go well. And for, you know, we had our eye on applying for the adoption order. So we don't want to say that we're not doing well, because what happens if, you know, so, you know, we just have to hold on the fact that we were lucky and to think of the bonding time. He's really, really lovely little boy. He's perfect. He's happy. He's got a big character. He's got a very big character. And he's bright as a button, but he is very quite demanding. But the whole time we're saying, is this normal behavior? Or is this adopted child behavior? But we're on our own, so we don't know. We try to do FaceTime with people, but I'm sure anybody with a toddler knows FaceTime with a toddler is not. It's not simple.
I should imagine so.
I think when lockdown started to ease, we managed to get a little bit of normality. But I think we're still sort of muddling through. Still listening, still reading, still learning, and trying and applying everything that we're doing, or that we learn. But one thing that happened that gave us a little bit of a bit of G'ing up was we found, or the local agency managed to get an email through to us meet up for a toddler group, and my wife went to that, and if she hadn't gone to that, I think we would have been even more on our own. But from that we managed to then join a local the WhatsApp group for the the group, and that is so valuable. There's 10 or more adopted children within or parents within that group, and it's just people who get it. You know, our parents are great, and my parents went on training, and my wife's parents went on training. But it's not, you know, it's so much easier to speak to people who actually are getting it. You know, we're sharing, just doing the usual WhatsApp stuff, but also sharing ideas for books to read to the children, but also to ourselves. Strategies, process, knowledge. We've been to birthday parties, lots of birthday parties in the past year, so that's great. And our little boy loves that. But yeah, that's the most valuable thing. But we asked during lockdown, are there any groups? Is there anything support? Mm. Any support? But it just didn't come. We really were completely abandoned.
Mm.
I feel, though, I do feel a lot more positive about life now. I think as spring comes, you know, I think everybody's emotions go up. Obviously the world is going to implode, but I think our personal circumstance, we are in a much better place, and we are a very strong unit. And our little boy, as I say, he's amazing, and I'm just in awe of him every single day. And you know, he's just starting to get some challenging behaviours out. I think we're at the stage where we might start needing a bit of support. Outside support, but I think we're strong enough to get through that, and you know, we'll be there for him, and as he grows, we'll hold his hand throughout it. But we've got a story to tell him when he's older, I think.
I'll say. I mean, in some ways, it's like, wow, that's 2 years ago. You know, that's 2 years ago that this all started kicking off. And to think that, you know, 2 years on, you're sitting here telling my story. But I guess the one thing that was springing to mind when you were chatting there was that it's almost like there was this unpreparedness of something like this happening, which was the case across the world, don't get me wrong, but in terms of, you know, knowing what was available to you, if, you know, even within those first couple of weeks of you know, just being the three of you, if you like, you know, you would still need some support within that. So you know, it's just kind of striking me that there's an element of being unprepared, not you, but the agency being unprepared for those 2-3 weeks, maybe, that, you know, we all, I guess, probably now are quite used to being isolated in some way. But, you know, back then that wasn't really a done thing in general life. So it's kind of awkward. And to have no support and no ability to be able to, you know, be in a WhatsApp group or just to be at the end of the phone for somebody, that's probably one of the hardest things.
Yeah, we obviously there was a phone number, and there was a group, you know, a toddler group to go to, but at the same time we need to keep with ourselves and shelter, well, hide is a way to describe it. But yeah, it very much, social workers were on the end of the phone, and that's okay. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. We were on our own. We're on our own, and then we were even more on our own, I think.
Hmm. Tough, very tough.
Yeah, it was tough, but I know that some people go through tougher situations, but yeah, it's relative, I suppose.
Mm. So where are you at now? I mean, adoption order stamped, granted?
Yes, yeah, I didn't say that, but it was done. I can't even remember. it was done in 2020. It was done in 2020.
Listen, given the last 2 years, I'm sure that dates are kind of
around
there somewhere at some point. But that's great to hear, because, you know, the one thing, if it wasn't going to be plain sailing, then you wouldn't have been able to do that, would you? So,
no, yeah.
Which is probably testament to yourself and your wife for just plowing on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. That's a good way to describe it. We plowed on.
Mm.
Powered through.
Yeah. And for that little boy as well, you know, let's face it, coming into a family of strangers and, you know,
yeah,
being kind of immersed into just two people that he didn't know, you know, just well done, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're proud of him, super proud of him, and he's a lovely little boy. But I know he's just one of a number of children that have went through that period of having to learn to be part of a new family, and also not seeing anything else anymore ever.
Yeah.
Just this new
tie's been broken, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he couldn't even go to the shop and sit in a trolley anymore.
Mm. So, the future in terms of hopefully, fingers crossed, we're all past all this kind of isolation, stroke, lockdowns and stuff like that. So, what kind of stuff are you hoping for the future for your little man?
Just
normality,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, normality. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, he's gonna start school. So just happiness is, to be honest. It sounds like a cliche, probably, but it's just as long as he's happy and safe, and we're happy with that. I'm not sure we want to go through the process again because of that, which I didn't expect to say,
right.
But because of what we went through, I feel scarred.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Are you planning on doing this again? But
okay. Yeah, when we went through the first part of the journey, you know, we wanted one or two, and then we were approved for one, with a view to maybe having a second later. But yeah, it was really tough for us. It was really tough for us to maybe in a few years' time we'll be completely different. We'll have grown again.
Yeah.
But right now I think we still bear some of those scars.
Yeah. And I think that's fair, because, you know, not everybody dealt with it all the same way. Everybody was going through different things. I mean, having a child placed for adoption during that time is just really difficult. And, you know, I'm thinking about a conversation I had with Karen Treisman a couple of months ago. And she actually corrected me when I said, oh, you know, we've all been through such a tough time. And she reminded me that actually some of us have thrived through this time. Some of us haven't. And some of us have found it difficult. And in actual fact, to say that everybody's had the same journey is wrong, but we've all had our own journey, and we will come out of it how we come out of it. It's how we cope with the kind of repercussions of that, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that you guys, if you feel that you can, that you will again, because like you say, there's a number of families who were built through that time that probably had a similar experience, but that's not how it normally is.
Yeah.
Thankfully, yeah. You know, in the grand scheme of things, sorry, I'm not minimizing your experience, but in the grand scheme of things, you're a couple of people
Yeah,
as tough as I was, you know, I mean, I couldn't. I mean, within a week, we had our, you know, first time we had our older two, we were out visiting friends within a week, only because that's what we felt, similar to what you were saying there about, you know, you kind of were supposed to be in this kind of self isolation or bubble or whatever it was. It's hard. It's hard work. You know, it's very hard work, and you need some normality, and, you know, children need to kind of get out and about to make things normal as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, but I knew that life would change becoming a parent, but I didn't realize, you know, it's totally not his fault, but I didn't realize that he would bring a completely different world with him.
Yeah. And of course, it's COVID he didn't bring, thankfully.
Of course he didn't.
So.
of course he didn't.
Well, Chris, thank you for talking to me. I really appreciate it. And I think that we're going to hear a number of stories over the coming months about, you know, just all this stuff that's gone with COVID and how it's affected people, whether it's been through placement or, you know, not being at school, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Every story is unique, and I want to thank you for sharing them with us.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me. And thanks for doing what you do as well.
Shucks. Thanks.